This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent day, a Friday. The deportations have commenced. So have the trade wars, and we have all kinds of stuff coming up this hour. Some dude's cutting off his brother. We're going to talk about China, Taco Bell, Miracle Whip, all that, J.B. Pritzker, and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I did see Akeem Jeffries get out, and he's talking about fighting in the streets.
We are going to fight it legislatively. We are going to fight it in the courts, and we're going to fight it in the streets.
He's getting a lot of crap for that today. We're going to fight it in the streets. We're going to fight it in the streets. He's talking about Trump's agenda. We're going to fight it. Legislatively, we're going to fight it in the court. We're going to fight it in the streets. But always remember, communism, it's a revolutionary religion. Revolutionary. Revolution without end. I think it was Lenin, I believe. Revolution without end. May have been Mao. I think it was Lenin. The revolution can never stop for the communist. So street activism, it's just what he does. And it's the only language his base understands. This comes back to what we were talking about at the end of last hour, about how Democrats are down now, and they won't be down forever. They will recover. They'll figure out a way to patch things back up. But they're down now, and they might be down for a while because they have trained themselves to speak, talk, and act like people who are nutballs, complete nutballs. And it really does come down to having trained themselves. Like that DNC forum I played you, where they're all, who thinks Kamala Harris lost because she's misogynist, or because America's misogynistic and racist? And every single one of them raised their hands. Well, if your goal, and it has to be your goal if you're the major party, if you're the Democrat Party, if your goal is middle America outreach. I'm talking about Pennsylvania. I'm talking about Michigan. I'm talking about Wisconsin. If your goal is to close the Republican gap in those areas, well, that stuff's not going to sell there. The only place that stuff sells, America's racist, it's California, New York City, the coastal, Oregon, Seattle. These are the only places where that kind of crazy political talk will sell and will get you promoted if you're in the Democrat Party. But you don't need to win Oregon if you're a Democrat. You don't need to win California. You don't need to win New York. You've already won all those places. If you want to rise to national power again, you have to win Pennsylvania. You have to win Michigan. You have to win Wisconsin. And that stuff simply won't work. And if stories like this, it's being rejected.
There's no room.
Laughlin Mayor Mark Mason is making his stance clear. He says in the past year, his village of 3,400 people has doubled.
No vacancy sign is up.
An influx of 3,000 African migrants, many of them asylum seekers, packing into a community barely more than a mile wide.
Many of the Mauritanians are unable to work and thus not paying taxes.
They're not working. The majority of them are not working, okay. Yes.
A small Ohio town of 3,000 people, and they brought in 3,000 Africans and handed them welfare checks. That kind of insane, nakedly destructive policymaking is exactly why the Democrat Party is on the outs. And the problem is, They can't change it yet. Hey, Whistling Pete Jesse, please use my name. I'm really concerned about China. If you figure even 2% of illegal aliens are Chinese military-age males, that is one heck of a landing already made. The Chinese most likely don't want them sent home, and if pushed hard, will be willing to say it's time to invade. What are your thoughts? No, listen, remember this about China. They are our number one geopolitical threat by a mile. Remember Russia? Not that you can dismiss Russia, because any country that has that many nuclear weapons can't be dismissed, but Russia's economy is roughly the size of the Texas economy. Russia has something like, Chris looked this one up, but I think it has like 140 million people. Now, I'm not dismissive of 140 million people, but that's half our size. Their economy is a tiny, I'm right about that? I'm right about that? Man, I'm smart. Anyway, their economy is a tiny fraction of ours. China's coming close to matching our economy. But when it comes to China invading, China has no intention of invading here, and they shouldn't invade here. The setup China has right now, from the Chinese perspective, the setup they have right now is we fund them taking over their hemisphere because we buy so much stuff from them. That's why they're actually freaking out about this 10% tariff Trump is going to bring down on them tomorrow. We fund and fuel the Chinese economy. However, militarily, this is the situation. We probably cannot go over there and fight them and win. I know that's hard to hear for patriotic Americans like you, but that's probably true. We probably can't go fight them over there and win, but they also can't come here and fight and win. That's the way the militaries have been set up. Their military has been set up to stop us from crossing the ocean, to stop them from doing all the various things they want to do, take Taiwan and whatnot. But yeah, Jewish producer Chris just brought up the supply lines. These are the nerdy things they don't make movies about, so stuff people don't really realize. The supply lines in World War II to supply the war effort in the Pacific, there should be an entire nerd museum just for what it took to supply that many troops, that many sailors with all the bombs, bullets, fuel, everything they needed over that far of a stretch. Think about, maybe you're not a logistics expert, I'm assuming you're not, I most definitely am not, but think about this. You're having, and this is not accurate, okay? This is a hypothetical. You are making toilet paper in Detroit, Michigan. You're making artillery shells down in Biloxi, Mississippi. You're making critical medical supplies in Charlotte, North Carolina. And not only are you making these things for the war effort, you have to pull these things from the factory in Charlotte, in Biloxi, in Detroit, where they are being made. You have to get them across the United States of America and get them onto a ship that then has to traverse the largest ocean on the planet, be fueled as it traverses that ocean, and arrive at its destination. And not only that, there is a schedule. There is a time frame on all this, because these supplies you're bringing over there are not to ensure that the Walmart on Saipan is stocked. If those supplies don't get where they're going, our troops die. They starve to death. They can't wipe their butts. They don't have the medical supplies they need. They'll run out of bullets. And this was done in a multi-year effort across the largest ocean on the planet. What we did logistically during World War II is staggering. It's amazing that we were able to pull that off as a country. China is aware of that. Very, very difficult for a nation to project large amounts of power far from home. That's something that's very difficult. Historically, it's very difficult. Alexander the Great, even. You know, the undefeated Alexander the Great, even with all his conquests, he starts out, He has to reconquer Greece, kind of. His dad dies. He has to reconquer Greece. And then he takes this huge invasion force, and he has to go over and he has to conquer the Persian Empire, the biggest, most powerful, richest empire on the planet. But then he keeps going and going and going. And finally, Afghanistan, all this stuff, finally, it's just too far from home. And it's not that he lost. He didn't lose, but eventually, even the troops under him said, man, I'm hungry. Dude, it's hot in India. It's miserable here. The food is not good, but we got to go. It's hard to project significant power across a globe. China can't come here and do that. There's not going to be a Chinese invasion, nor do they want it. They want us to keep buying their stuff. But sadly, we probably can't do that to them either. It is what it is. All right, let's talk about your brother, Taco Bell, J.B. Pritzker of Illinois. Let's talk about making sure you're set up with some gold in your retirement. We take all kinds of steps to protect ourselves and our stuff, don't we? We lock our front door at night. Hopefully your back door is locked as well. We wear seat belts. We buy health insurance. But what do you do with that retirement money you've been busting your butt to earn your entire life? Have you done anything to ensure that if that bubble pops, you don't lose everything? That's what gold and silver really are, reliability. It's not about the shiny metals. That's fine. It's about reliability. Gold Co. will get you all the way set up, and they make it easy. They'll get it in your retirement. Easy. They'll get it in your physical possession if you want some of that, and I would recommend that. Easy. They make it easy. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau for a reason. Over 6,000 five-star reviews for a reason. Gold Co. makes it easy, and you can trust them. Go to jessielikesgold.com. They'll give you a free gold and silver kit. jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Getting back to the questions here in a moment. First, let's listen to Tom Homan talking about gunfighting with the cartels.
They have taken gunfire, and it's going to get worse, Sean, because President Trump's going to seal that border. He's going to put the cartels out of business.
And I use that clip as the impetus to talk about this email about J.B. Pritzker. Dear Machine Gun Kelly, you played a clip of Pritzker saying, you have to go through me to get illegals. It got me thinking, one, of course you have to go through him. It's impossible to go around him. And two, do you think these dumb commies actually might try to get arrested when interfering with ICE as a PR stunt? No, I don't think they'll take it that far. Remember, the elites, remember the two different divisions of communism. There have always been and will always be two different types of communists. There are elite communist scum and there are street communist scum. Elite communist scum being, you know, elected officials, CEOs, these types. Well, the elites, they don't actually believe, most of them don't actually believe any of the commie gobbledygook they sell to their low IQ minions. They just understand what is communism after all? What is its purpose after all? It's to help people gain power. That's why the people who push it, the people who lead the revolutions, that's why they're doing it. They're not about the workers or fairness or anything. It's always just about power. It's always just about money and power. Elites like the Bill Gateses of the world, the pick your Democrat of the world, they don't believe any of that climate change crap or any of that. They don't believe in opening up the border into their home, or they don't care about any of that stuff at all. They're not sitting around whining about the plight of the Guatemalans. They don't give a crap about any of that. They understand that there are large quantities of really, really stupid people who can be sold the sick religion of communism. And so they will use the stupidness of that many people to get money and power for themselves. Useful idiots or whatever word you want to put on it. That's what it is. That's one division, the elite communist scum. And now let's talk about the second division, the street communist scum. They do believe. Your liberal Aunt Peggy, when she walks in with her Save the Planet t-shirt, she really does believe. She does. She's a moron. That's part of the reason she believes that, but she does believe it. She genuinely believes it makes her a good person to open up the borders of her country to rapists and murderers. I know that's a sick, twisted logic that you can't understand, and you probably shouldn't even try to understand, but you should know that she does believe it. Well, as far as getting arrested goes, that's for the streets. The elites don't get their hands dirty. The elites don't even believe in any of this stuff or care about any of this stuff. Instead, I mean, I'll use that talk as the impetus to play this Hakeem Jeffries clip.
We are going to fight it legislatively. We are going to fight it in the courts. And we're going to fight it in the streets.
Hakeem Jeffries isn't going to the streets. You think he's going to the streets? You think Hakeem Jeffries is going to get out there gluing his butt to the highway to save the planet? No. That's what the morons who follow him will have to do. Hakeem Jeffries sees himself as a king, as a ruler, and he wants even more power for himself. So he'll stand up and he'll say, "We're taking it to the streets." And then your crazy demonic liberal Aunt Peggy will go glue her butt to the freeway and she'll get arrested. But Hakeem Jeffries is never actually going to get arrested. Remember that little fruitcake who runs Denver? What's his name? Mike Johnston, the mayor of Denver? He came out right away and tried to do the same thing too. If Trump wants all these illegals, then I'll get arrested to stop him. And then Trump's people came out and said, "Oh, okay, yeah, we are absolutely going to arrest any elected official who commits the crime of stopping us from arresting illegals." And the next day, Mike Johnston came out and said, "Well, I mean, we're going to work with ICE. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're going to work with ICE." The elites aren't in this to get arrested. The elites are in this for power and money. They don't care about communism. Only your stupid liberal Aunt Peggy cares about communism. "Hey, Jesse, I had emergency liver transplant surgery almost a year ago. My older brother thought that was a good time to sue me for half the value of my deceased parents' home because I was using it to recover from my surgery. He cost me over $20,000 in lawyer fees and counting. When the case finalized in a few weeks, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have a brother anymore. Am I overreacting?" Said he'd love to hear my input. He says his name is John. Look, the way I handle these things is not what I would claim to be the right way. It's just the way I handle things. It's the way the Kellys handle things. For me, if you are there for me when I am down, I am yours for life. I will never, ever forget it. I will always be there. When everyone else runs out on me, when I'm down, when I lose my job, when I get a DUI, when I have a surgery, when I'm going to pick your divorce, pick your horrible thing that people go through in life. If you're there for me, we're boys forever. On the flip side of that, if you come for me when I'm down, pile on me, comment on Facebook, ragging on me to friends and family, if in any way you try to take advantage of me or pile on me when I'm down, I will never, ever forget it. I will never let it go. And we are done forever. Forever. I'll tell you what, I actually have a little example of this next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't
shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You can send us an email, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, guy was talking about his brother and cutting off his brother and all these other things. So, I'll just tell you, here's a little example of me. I will not abide by family or friends arguing with me or chirping at me publicly. It's a huge thing that I despise about our society now, where people will go to social media and they'll complain about their spouse, their brother, their buddy, their whatever. They'll actually argue with legitimate arguments in public. Argue with your buddy. Argue with your wife, your husband, with your whatever. That's fine. It's healthy. Privately. It's not a spectator sport, so everybody on the sidelines can watch and cheer you on. That's really, really gross. Privately. So remember back during the primary, it wasn't much of a primary because Trump was winning the whole time, but during the primary, I was a DeSantis guy, and about half my friends were DeSantis, half my friends were Trump, and like I told you, everyone's just going to come back together just like they did when it was over anyway. But I never cared. I never told you who to vote for. I never cared anyway. I didn't care if one of my friends or family members went the other way, and I had them all split. Half of my family was Trump, half were DeSantis. It didn't matter. Whatever. These are all the patriots. I don't care anyway. One of my friends in politics, no, I'm not going to give you his name, and when I say friend, I don't mean like we've texted once. We've been to dinner several times. We've been to each other's homes. You know, he's hung out with me and my wife. Like, we are friends. Friends. Was a hardcore Trump guy. Again, no issue with that whatsoever. I had said something critical that I didn't like. I forget what I said exactly about Trump that I didn't like. And instead of shooting me a text, instead of calling me, what would have been fine. Could have called me and called me every name in the book. I wouldn't have cared. Chose to publicly, it was on Twitter, publicly just crucified me for it. And a bunch of people saw it. Yeah, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I didn't do anything except immediately blocked him on social media, blocked his cell phone number, blocked his email address. Will never, ever speak to him ever again. Even if he came to me and said, hey, man, I didn't like it that we fought. Even if maybe I forgave him. But if he said, hey, man, will you forgive me for that? I would. If he asked for that, I would. He would still never, ever, 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 ever in a million years be my friend again for this reason. He's proven he's the type of person who wants to argue with me or will come at me in public. You've proven that once. That's who you are. If you run out on somebody when they're down, you're a bad person, and I'll never forget it. I'll never let it go. So there's that. Before we get back to politics, just wanted to divulge this little bit of personal information. I got a wonderful text during the break from Ob. Wonderful, wonderful text. She said, I have some good news and bad news. Now, before I get to the text, tonight, there was something on the Kelly family schedule. Something most parents listening to the sound of my voice will be quite familiar with. You see, Luke just finished swim season. He's a swimmer. My youngest son's a swimmer. He's a friggin' fish. The season ended. But when seasons end, and this applies to more than that. It applies to choir, to Cub Scouts, to whatever. Chris, you will experience this. Whenever the season is over, for some reason, someone decided that everybody had to get together one last time for some public banquet of some kind. You always go to Applebee's or something like that where they set out a couple mozzarella sticks, and then you have to watch Aiden, Jaden, and Braden get the most improved player award. And it, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you young parents or people who are aspiring to be parents. It's brutal. Brutal. And almost always it's on a Friday or Saturday night. So the sports season finally ends. You're finally free for like one weekend. You finally don't have any obligations. No more kids to drive around. No more. I might sleep in tomorrow. I really might. I don't know. I don't know what I'll do with this newfound freedom. But you have this one little bit of freedom. It's like you've been in prison for 50 years. And finally, they're letting you out. It's your day to get out. And you're walking towards the prison gates. And you're going past this gate and that gate and that gate. And you get to the final gate. You can taste the fresh air. You can actually put your face through the bars. And you can smell the fresh air. But that's when they announce, sorry, not quite yet. You're going to have to spend the night right there one more day before the gate is finally opened. And you can be free. And that's where I am right now. That's where I've been all day long, knowing that at the end of this day, there's no freedom coming. It's banquet time. I just got a text from Aub during the break. And she said, well, I'll read it to you verbatim. Verbatim. Jesse, I've got good news and bad news. And so I texted back, what? And she said, the bad news is Luke is sick. The good news is you don't have to go to the banquet tonight. To which I replied, of course, well, what's the bad news? And then her response was not that nice. Either way, a great day in the Kelly household. Yeah! I'm so freaking excited.
Can I get a witness?
Dear Manos Pequeños Kelly, since you wabla, I'm sure you appreciate the compliment. I was curious what your strategy would be for attacking rhinos in primaries. There are at least 10 senators I could name off the top of my head who've earned a primary challenger, but going after all of them seems like spreading our resources too thin. How do we get voters nationwide to coalesce around defeating 2 to 3 senators? Okay, let's talk about this concept of how do we get voters nationwide, because there's only so much money to go around. How do we get voters nationwide to just focus on, hey, we're going to take out James Lankford in 2028 in a primary. We're going to take out John Cornyn in 2026 in a primary. How do we get the entire country to coalesce around that and care? And my answer to this is probably going to frustrate you. I bet you won't like it that much. But creating national interest and national momentum is beyond your control. And what's more, it's beyond mine, too. Maybe you just said to yourself, well, yeah, you could do it. You've got a radio show. No. Do I control you? You're not controlled by me. Hopefully you enjoy the show. Hopefully we made your day a little bit better. But if I came on here and told you something kooky and quacky, you would reject it. And you should. Think for yourself. Creating momentum is not something most of the time you can plan out. Where do we don't want to spend our money here? We have to spend our money there. We need people to get excited about that. You are 100% right. We must take out a GOP senator in a primary. We don't even have to get 10 of them. We have to get 1 or 2. That'll get the rest of them too scared to betray us. However, I don't know what race that's going to be. As I've told you before, it's going to have to be a rhino senator who's tossed a couple really bad votes that people can get angry about. That would be John Cornyn. But more than that, he's going to need one significant challenger who has name ID. Not 10 challengers. And Bob from Omaha is running. No. For the United States Senate, that won't work. Bob from Omaha needs to be the only one running. He has to be already known in the state, and he has to raise $10 to $15 million. Period. That's what it takes to run for Senate, probably bare minimum, unless you probably do it less than that in like Wyoming or something like that, but in a cheaper media market. And what that race is going to be, who that's going to be, I don't know. I'm salivating at the thought of taking out John Cornyn in our primary, especially now that we think Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General, might be the guy running against him next year. Ken Paxton is well known. He would be able to raise good money. If he was alone, he would probably win, or at least he'd have a good shot at it. But I can't just pick one, and you can't either. Nobody has that power. Even Donald Trump himself, the most powerful Republican in the country, he doesn't have the power to say, look, that's our race. That's the one. Now, he would help or hurt, depending on which side he took, but that's how it goes. I'm sorry. Jesse, I'm not too happy with the way, she says, I'm not too happy with the way Kelly is talking too about fellow coworkers. You do a commercial about better employees through whatever agency, that would be ZipRecruiter, and I find that a bit offensive when you continual talk down, that's not how you say that, toward Chris. He evidently does a good job keeping you on the air, so why would you be so negative toward him and go as far as say you should contact them so you could like replace Chris? I'm reading this verbatim. Not a good message, in my opinion, as a listener. Consider a fresh attitude toward the folks you deal with. Well, listen, not only do you need ZipRecruiter, not only do I need it so I can replace people like Chris, whoever this lady works for, her employer needs it too. You can't have some wingnut like this working in your company, and ZipRecruiter is here to help you replace this weapons-grade moron. You see, the greatest employees out there, they're already on ZipRecruiter. There's not a lag time. 4 out of 5 people, employers who sign up for ZipRecruiter, get a good candidate the first day. They're all waiting there for you so you can replace morons like this. That's why ZipRecruiter exists, to take you to the next level, to shed the dead weight, the Chris weight, if you will. So allow that to be the impetus for you to go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Friday. Quick addendum here before I get back to the political talk. Remember how I told you I was getting those texts from Mob about the banquet and all this other stuff? Well, I may have messed up because Ob had a haircut appointment today and she chopped off some inches. Now, she didn't go, look, she didn't go full lesbian or anything like that. It's nothing like that. It's still long hair, but she chopped off a lot of it. And then she texted me a picture of the hair. And I just didn't respond because I haven't, what, Chris, what? Can you stop me before I dig any deeper? No, I'm just explaining what happened, Chris. What is your problem? It'll be fine. So she texted me this picture of her haircut. And I looked at it, but there was a lot else going on. I mean, we're doing an award-winning radio show here that's never actually won any awards, but we're doing an award-winning radio show here. So I have a lot going on. I didn't have time to study the picture or whatnot. I just kind of ignored it. And then she texts and she says, are you just ignoring my hair or do you hate it? And so I texted back an extremely honest response. I said, and I quote, I just need to see it in person. That's all I said. Now I'm getting, first I got a wow, that was all she said. And now I'm getting texts like this. Whatever, at least I have hair, which is not very nice at all. So that's the level of viciousness I'm dealing with over here. Dear Jesse, I watch your show on the First TV Daily. I agree with you 100% about your political views and about Bucky's. That being said, your love of Miracle Whip has me questioning my continued commitment to watching your show. Dude, if you don't like the tang and zip of Miracle Whip, you need to get your taste buds checked. Jesse, is there anything that can be done presidentially or congressionally about the U.S. land that China has been allowed to purchase with regard to national security, so on and so forth? Says thanks. His name is Dave. Okay, so Chip Roy actually has a bill about this exact same issue about China buying up all the land. And that obviously is not good. That's not what we want for our country. That's not safe at all to have a geopolitical foe who's announced their intention to supplant you as number one, to just allow them to buy up all kinds of land. And they're buying up farmland close to military bases. And it's very, very, very bad. At the same time, I'm not 100% confident a law can solve the problem. And here's what I mean. When you have a country as large as China, a country that can throw that much money around, well, it allows them to find patsies, if you will. It allows them, I mean, how many different times have we talked about the left-wing funding network in this country and how it works? You'll have a for-profit business run by some billionaire commie, but then that for-profit business will start 10 nonprofit offshoots that are funded through the for-profit business, but because they're nonprofit offshoots, they don't have to necessarily disclose all their political stuff. And that, I mean, you remember how the Biden family did it. Remember when we were studying the Biden family corruption and the House of Representatives was uncovering all these LLCs? Like, why do you have 15 LLCs? Well, there's only one reason you would have that many companies. It's so you can hide what you're doing. You're moving illicit funds from this company to that one, to this one, to that one, and this is subject to that. So my point being with all this is I want something done about what China's doing here. I am not positive. I'm not confident that Congress passing a law about it will do anything. And I'm not confident that Congress would be willing to pass an anti-China law. Do you see this headline from today? This is from Unusual Wales. Breaking: former senior advisor for the Federal Reserve, John Harold Rogers, has been arrested on charges he conspired to steal federal trade secrets for the benefit of the People's Republic of China. Former senior advisor for the Federal Reserve. Now, these are just allegations right now, obviously. But what if the former senior advisor to the Federal Reserve was selling secrets to the Chi-Coms? My point is, how deep does the Chinese infiltration into this country go? Well, think about what we know. We know about the op. The honeypot op they ran against Eric Swalwell with Fang Fang and that Chinese dime that was apparently getting around with every California politician she can find. What else do we know? Well, let me ask you this. Who was running the alleged high-end brothel in the D.C. area that had politicians and tech guys and military commanders as the clientele? We don't know who was actually running it, and we don't know who was collecting all the information on those people. How many people who sit in the House of Representatives or the Senate, how many of them are allowed to vote against China? Scary, but true. Taco Bell's not scary. Throwing illegals into Gitmo isn't scary. We'll probably talk about both next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.